What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
It's time once again to be chatting to Joan Grosser. Welcome back for 2008.
Thank you, Rodney. It's good to be back. Seems ages since I was here last.
Yeah, so you've had a break just relaxing on the beach for the whole time.
You've got to be kidding.
I didn't think so.
No, not at all. But anyway, we're not complaining.
You've had a good break away from this program, I guess, to recharge and come back with some great topics. And this morning's topic is a beauty because, you know, you hear people saying, oh, teenagers these days, they don't have any respect, and we've either heard people say it or we've said it ourselves, but I guess we need to get to the bottom of, is that really the case?
Yes, and I took this on because I've been interstate doing teaching seminars for teachers on parenting and how there's the necessity of having congruence between home and school. And when I was at one particular school, one of the teachers said, the biggest issue we have in our school is that the high schoolers don't show any respect. And then other teachers piped up and said the same thing, and they said, you know, there just isn't any respect for us from the teenagers. And I said, well, you know, what sort of percentage would that be? And they automatically said, oh, all the kids. That sounded interesting. So that got me thinking. So I came home sort of with this issue of respect on my mind and thought, yeah, good way to start the year.
Yeah, because I guess we can look at it and I'm wondering whether it's a case of us thinking our teenagers don't have respect and that is the case, or whether we've just forgotten what it's like to be a teenager, or, you know, just what the thing is. So I guess we need to grapple with that and find out, first of all, what is going on? Is it really an issue? And if so, how do we tackle it?
Well, I think one of the first things is, what do we mean by respect? And I've been asking a lot of people about that. What do they mean by the word respect? How does it come across to them? So I started off by going back to Webster's Dictionary of 1828, if you please. And this is what was said: to view or consider with some degree of reverence, to esteem as possessed of real worth, that estimation or honour in which people hold the distinguished worth or substantial good qualities of others. And it's less than reverence or veneration, but it is regarded not just for elders and superiors, but a regard for juniors and inferiors too. So it's sort of seen so it is respect right across the board. Now, that's a definition, but in my mind, I think we've got to go more than just definition to say, you know, how do we work out respect? Like, you can say you've got an attitude of respect, but what does it look like in real life?
And showing that attitude of respect doesn't necessarily mean that there is respect below the surface. And I think it's very interesting, because I was even thinking before you got to that part, respect really does go both ways.
It does.
And, of course, we need to have that respect for authority, which means that, okay, you're in authority above me, therefore I need to show you a different kind of respect. But there needs to be that respect that goes both ways. And I suppose we need to look when people are disappointed about the respect that they're not getting, are they showing respect?
Well, I said to people, well, what do you mean by lack of respect? What does that look like for you? And these are the kind of answers that I got back. They felt that, now we're dealing with teenagers, by the way, they're looking at the teens because that's where it sort of came from, that the teenagers are self-centred and that they were only prepared to show respect to people who they liked or people who were nice to them or if they chose to be. So it was sort of a choice that they had. And then another one was thinking that respect has to be earned. You know, I'll respect them if I think they deserve it. You know, for instance, if I've got a bad teacher or my parent doesn't deserve respect because of this, that or the other, or my siblings don't deserve respect. And then the other one was they only respect those who respect me and think the same as what I do. If they don't think like I do, then I'm not going to respect them because they're just, you know, stupid. Treating the other thing that came across was the lack of respect came across as teenagers treating adults as their peers. And so that's when we're dealing with teenagers and respect, that, well, you're just my peer, you know, you're no better than me. And then there's the other one that people say, oh, you know, but he's got an attitude. I don't know what that means, but anyway, it's got an attitude.
I guess we all have an attitude, but when someone says that, it means the attitude is not a good thing.
Yeah, it's a negative attitude, you know. And then the other one was no response to instructions. You can't tell me what to do. Or speaking rudely, you can't make me do it. Now, they're the kind of things that sort of came across as being lack of respect. And that's not coming from, say, my generation or the baby boomers. That's coming from your 30 to 40-year-olds who are teachers and where they have responsibility for teenagers. Now, that's very interesting because for my age group, we have even, I think, another standard for respect again. And that came out when I was talking to one mum. She said, you know, my parents are disappointed that they feel that their grandchildren don't have any respect for them. And I again said, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, they would just love them to just give them a ring, just to make contact. You know, the grandparents are constantly just saying hi to their grandchildren, but the grandchildren are not reciprocating. So this lady asked her son, well, you know, why don't you get in touch with grandma? Oh, you know, she's quite boring. What have we got to say? And so that's really sad for the elderly who really want that relationship. So they're saying, well, you know, the young ones don't have any respect for us. And that is a statement that's been, I've heard a lot from the baby boomer age group. But now we're finding it coming through from teachers and a younger age group too.
Yeah. And I wonder what that says about the upbringing that kids have received as to whether they have been taught, whether parents are showing respect, whether this is something that's trickling down, where parents aren't showing respect for whether it be those people in authority or those people that are older than them. I think we'll come back and talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But if you would like to join the conversation this morning, a couple of ways you can do that. Use our email address, mornings@sunshinefm.ws, mornings@sunshinefm.ws. You can use that to email us, or if you're using Microsoft Messenger. Alternately, if you would like to give us a call, love to hear from you and chat to you on air, 94841985. 94841985. Rodney Olson here, chatting to Joan Grosser. It's our Growing Families segment, and we're talking today about teenagers and respect. Enyo, you've got a few comments to make about respect.
Good morning, Rodney and Joan.
Good morning, Enyo.
You know, someone is older than you and gives you good advice, Joan. I mean, you've got to show respect because you learn something. You know, if you learn wisdom, you know, the Bible talks about wisdom, but also I read a book called Confucius, the Analects. Confucius taught the students the way, you know, gave them good advice, Joan. I don't know if you ever read the book Confucius. It's a brilliant, I reckon it's better than the Bible, right? Sorry I have to talk about that, Rodney, but it's called Confucius. It's a philosophy, you know.
Yes, actually, Rodney, Confucius did say, do not do unto others what you would not have done unto yourself. And the Bible gives you the same thing a different way around. It says, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. So, yes, we'd have some agreement on that. There's some good things in what Confucius says too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, as Enyo says, that we should be showing respect to those people who are older than us and give us advice. And again, that comes back to the scripture says that we should show respect for elders. And I guess that's it. We seem to have this conditional respect that if our elder says something that we agree with, then we'll go along and we'll respect it. But I think we need to show respect even if we don't necessarily take on that advice. I guess that's it. That's what we've got to struggle with. You know, if the advice we really still don't consider is good, we still need to be showing respect to the person that's giving it.
And that's it. We need to be able to show respect to everybody. It's not just the person who gives us good advice. I asked a 10-year-old this question of respect, and I said, who should you show respect to? And she said, show respect to everyone, old and young, because God made all of us. And that was the simplicity of how she saw it. And I said, well, what does that look like? How would you show respect to other people? And she said things like, well, for people who are my age, you don't tease them, you don't make fun of them, you show respect for their things, or their property. You do as you're told without complaining and whining. You be thankful for the things that you've got. And even if people don't respect you, you should respect them and be courteous. Hey, this is coming from a 10-year-old, mind you. Look at people when they speak to you and also reply to them. Don't just ignore them. Respect people who've got disabilities and be helpful and kind. Now, that came out in a very short time from a 10-year-old. And I'm going, wow. You know, there are kids who understand what respect is and know that it's not just for someone who gives you good advice or for the elderly. It's for everybody because everyone was made by God. So then I said to her, well, who taught you to respect? And that took her a bit longer. And she said, well, Mum and Dad and my teachers and my church and my grandparents, and she just went down the line. And it was very much a part, almost a part of her DNA now, to show respect. And I thought, wow, you know, they're not going to say of her as a 13-year-old that she is disrespectful. So really, she's got it. And I believe that our children can have it and can know what it looks like in practice. They can know what the theory is, what the understanding of the principle is, but they can also know what it is in everyday life. So, yeah, I think it is what Enya says, that, yes, you do need to have respect for the people who've shown you things and given you really good wisdom, but also even for the person who doesn't so-called deserve it, we still need to give them respect. That also includes that so-called bad teacher. I mean, you know, it's not that you are bowing and scraping to them, but simply by showing respect is just doing what we need to do to all people, whether they deserve it or not.
Yeah, and I guess that's where the teaching comes in, especially, and we'll talk a bit more about that in just a moment, about how we do teach that to our kids. But I suppose if we have a teacher that is teaching our kids and we don't think that they're doing the right thing and we feel that our child is hard done by, we've still got to show respect and, mm-hmm. you know, when the child comes home, say, yeah, okay, I understand what you're saying. Maybe there's a reason for it and maybe we need to sort that out rather than just immediately jumping to the defence of our child, because they may not be the one that is right in this situation. Mm-hmm. And even if mm-hmm. and even if the child is right and the teacher is wrong, we've still got to, I guess, teach that respect. And that's a difficult thing for us as well, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because we can't just stand idly by, and we're not saying just don't do anything and just let your kid cop it. But we need to take steps with respect.
Well, that takes us on to another issue. It's not just respect. I think there are three words that go together. It's respect, honour and honesty. I think honesty comes in here that, yes, in this case, say, of the teacher that you do feel is not doing the right thing by your child, you're showing respect because you are not putting them down or criticising them or bad-mouthing them to the child. But at the same time, you are showing honour to your child because you will go to the teacher and you'll go through the issue and work it out with the teacher. And that comes out very much in what Mr. Ezzo says in Growing Kids God's Way. He says, when he's talking about the basis of character, the quality of your character and that of your children is best exemplified by the presence or absence of three attributes: respect, honour and honesty. Now, these are action terms. Having an attitude of respect, honour and honesty is not enough. There must be an ongoing demonstration of the three, and that's what the 10-year-old was giving us, was a demonstration of all of them. So respect, honour and honesty are critical fibres in the moral fabric of our very being. To respect others is to honour them, and to honour them is to live honestly before them. So you see how it all wraps up, in that showing respect also has that issue of honour and honesty. And the parent's job is to take the intangible concepts of respect, honour and honesty and make them tangible, because as they're abstract, it's very difficult for a child to grasp. But what we do and the modelling that we give makes them concrete for the child.
Mm. And certainly, as we've said so many times before, in any sort of behaviour that we want to give our kids the skills towards modelling, we need to model it ourselves, but modelling and teaching. We can't just expect that they'll pick it up from us. Kids seem to be really good at just picking up our bad habits. We don't have to teach them those. But those good habits, often we need to model as well as putting the teaching in place.
That's right, and that brings in both what we say, the how and the why, that we're showing our children how to show respect, but we also need to be teaching them why they need to give respect. It was interesting, I was with a little 5-year-old yesterday and asked her about respect, and then I said, and she got it, she knew what she was talking about, and I said, well, how soon do mums and dads need to start teaching respect? How young do they, you know, what age do you need to be when you start being taught respect? And she went, I think 1 year old. I said, oh, really? And then her two brothers said, yes, yes, we agree, because, you know, at one you're showing, you start, and they started to talk about how you do things with toys and you, you know, show respect by waiting and all kinds of things. So they thought that, yes, you could start when your baby was only one.
Okay. Well, we have the authority. It's interesting, of course, and we'll go to the phones in just a moment if you would like to give us a call. I'll give you the phone number in just a tick. But it is interesting that we're talking about a 10-year-old's view on respect, and you're talking there about a 5-year-old's, and yet the topic for today is teenagers and respect. Mm-hmm. And I guess that comes out of the fact that once teenagers get to that age, oftentimes they've gone past that point. And it's not to say that it's a hopeless case, but really the respect and teaching respect needs to come earlier. If we want teenagers to respect, the building blocks have got to be there in the earlier years.
Very much so.
If you would like to get in touch today, mornings at sunshinefm.ws is our email address. That will get us on email or on Microsoft Messenger, mornings at sunshinefm.ws, or give us a call. We'd love to chat to you on air this morning, 94841985. 94841985. Rodney Olson here chatting with Joan Grosser. It's Growing Families, and we're talking about respect, and especially teenagers and respect. We've got Lynn on the line. Good morning to you, Lynn.
Good morning.
Now, you've got a particular topic dealing with respect.
Yes, well, I sort of can't cope with, particularly in the church, little ones being called kids instead of children. You know, God gave us a precious gift of children, and I think it starts there. If you treat them as children and bring that as a respectful title, then it carries through into being teenagers.
That is a very good point, Lynn, and thank you so much for bringing that up, because it's respect both ways, isn't it? It's us showing respect to the children.
Yeah, I really do believe, and I believe as adults, if we talk to our children as kid goats, and that's what a kid is, it's a young goat. Now, what are we saying? Are we goats that we produce these? You know, I know that sounds hypothetical, but, you know, is that what we're saying?
Yes, that's true, and you know, we do lower our standards in the way that we speak, don't we? And it's very good to be reminded of that, how easy it is for us to lower our standards, and yet we expect a standard back from our children.
Yes, and some cultures don't even look at the whole concept of teenagers. They're young adults.
They go through initiation ceremonies, etc. And yes, and they are, from around 12 years of age, they're expected to be adult in their behaviour. But the training has to go in first, doesn't it?
It definitely has. And I think if you respect and give them the God-given title, then that carries through.
Thank you so much for that point. Okay. Well taken.
Thanks, Joan.
Good to talk to you this morning, Lynn. And we had Marlene on the line. She didn't want to chat on air, but she was talking about the idea of respect is great, especially kids and or children respecting adults, but also where do we draw the line when there are adults that will take advantage of children? She was talking about pedophilia. Where do we draw the line with just asking our children to show respect to those older than them, but there are some that are older than them that would take advantage of them?
Yes, that is true, and we need to have our children aware of that. However, I think that if we are really genuinely teaching our children what respect is not being buddy buddies and pals with anyone you don't know. You are teaching them to speak politely and respectfully to everybody. It doesn't matter who that person is. You know, that person may be someone who is in very difficult situations or is not a nice person for various reasons we don't know. But there is still that that issue of just simply treating that person with respect, politely, and moving on. You're not asking them to be buddies with them. For instance, if somebody says hello to you, you smile and say hello back and carry on. You don't have to carry on a conversation with them, but you are acknowledging the fact that they spoke to you.
And along with that comes our, I guess, responsibility to teach our children that there are some people that will harm them, and we don't want to, and it's all about being age appropriate and not wanting to scare them and make them think that the whole world is bad, but we do need to teach them that there are people that they need to stay out of the way of some people.
Yes, I always have a bit of a reserve here because I don't want our children growing up with fear of everywhere they look, that there's going to be somebody around every corner. So by putting the foundations into our children so they have confidence in us, they will always come back to us, they will feel they can tell us anything, they know the boundaries and they know the clear boundaries, then our children can be confident about life and reach out, show respect, but know where the line is drawn.
And we certainly tell our children that the majority of people, the vast majority of people, would never do a child harm.
That's right.
Would never do anything to hurt a child at all. But there's just a very small minority that will, and that's why we take extra precautions. That's why we're with them and we want to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. And I guess you do walk that line, not wanting them to be fearful of everyone, but also letting them know that there are dangers and we need to be aware.
That's right. And I know that we need to finish off, but I do want to tell you a little story of what happened yesterday. We have a dear gentleman in church who's I speak to each Sunday, and he said just in passing, "Oh, I had a phone call from my grandson yesterday in London." I said, "Oh, that's lovely. You know, does he make contact with you often?" He said, "Oh, yes." And so, "Well, he must have real respect and love for you." And he said, "Oh, he does, you know." And I said, "Well, that's interesting. Can I mention him on air, you on air, you know, tomorrow? Because it's lovely to think that your grandson wants to phone his grandpa from London." And he said, "Oh, yes, he has respect for me." But he said, "You know, first of all, he knows that he is loved by his grandparents." Mm. And I thought, isn't that great? You know, here's the relationship between the grandchild and the grandparents. And as I said before, we baby boomers love to feel that we're going to be respected. But to be respected, we need to really help our children by connecting with them. We pick up the phone, we ring them, today, the children start in school today or tomorrow. Grandparents, have we rung our children before they've gone to school and said, "Hi, you know, I hope you have a really lovely day at school today, and give me a call tonight and let me know how you got on"? Or, you know, we need to reach out two ways. So we're showing respect, and they will get it back for sure.
Throughout this morning, we've been talking especially about building that into younger children so that once they reach the teenage years, they are showing respect. Of course, there is the problem that sometimes teenagers get to that age and they haven't learnt respect, and we need to build that into them. We've got an email from Elizabeth this morning that says, "Hi Joan, my niece, 14 going on 15, is a lovely girl most of the time at home, though it seems that she becomes rude to her parents, aunts, etc., when she feels her rights or wishes are being violated. She believes she's entitled to these. She's also rude when her friends are around, as if to show that she is in control of the parents rather than they in charge of her, which is interesting because the friends are generally not impressed by this behaviour, yet she still needs to assert herself in this way. Any tips for my sister?" That's from Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth. I guess that's an issue in itself, to say, okay, if we haven't been able to build that respect in children once they get to that age, what do we do now? And as I mentioned before, it's not a lost cause. There are things that we can do, and maybe we need to explore that next week.
Yes, we will deal with Elizabeth's email next week, because that brings us right back to what do we do when it's too late to train as a child, but you have a 13, 14, 15-year-old, and it's endemic almost that these children or these teenagers are not showing respect. How can we change it? And this particular case Elizabeth is talking about is a very common one. So let's talk about those things next week.
In the meantime, Joan, it's been great talking to you. We'll catch you this time next week.
We will.
Okay, bye.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.